You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Hello and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. I'm your host, G.P. Haggett, exorcist, theologian, author. I got a special treat for you. This is going to be a four-part series, and at the end I'm going to invite a guest in, probably a couple of them, maybe, I don't know, to talk about this particular exorcism. And this is a very important exorcism that I'm going to show you, because what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give a little intro on each part in this series, and then I'm going to just let the whole exorcism play out. And so hopefully it is for you pastors out there who are learning how to do deliverance. It can be a teaching process for you. But you're going to learn that the inner healing is the majority of the work for an exorcist. There's a lot of healing that the person has to go through in order to get free. There is curse breaking, there is renouncing, there's a lot of talking, counseling, having to go back into the person's history, even in trying to do the detective work and find out more about their ancestors, all that kind of thing. So, in this particular exorcism, the gentleman... victim of possession. Let me just set this up for you. A local church close by me this gentleman, his family had gone to their pastor and to the church administration to ask for help because they had some sort of paranormal activity going on in their home. And so because my name is out there, the administration at the church got contact with me to help this family to get rid of these spirits or find out what's going on in their home, because most pastors, even around here, don't know how to deal with demons or anything, or how to do deliverance. And so that's where my ministry and I come in. So so they gave me his phone number. I contacted him and talked with them, set up a time where my cousin and I, who is a demonologist, his name's Jared Grimm, you met him here on the podcast before, and I'll have him on in the last part of this, and we'll talk about this particular inner healing and deliverance and exorcism that we did on this gentleman. But initially, this family thought that they just had some evil spirits in their home. They were going through poltergeist activity. Stuff was moving in their home. This gentleman in particular, they were hearing voices. They heard, he saw a black mass. The bathroom door shut on him by itself. They were being tormented. And so we came into the house, and Jared did his thing as a demonologist, and I did my thing, and pretty much what I do is just detective work as an exorcist. I talk with everybody that's involved with a particular haunting, and just ask a lot of questions, because what I'm actually doing is I'm hunting down the demon. And this is the thing is, you can have activity in a home like this, but they're not actually in the home. They're in a person. Demons prefer a body, and they have admitted this in exorcisms. They've admitted that they prefer nice warm bodies to stay in, because it's more of a house for them, for spirits. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so I came into the home, and I eliminated the children right away, because even if they were demonized, I knew that I could use the parents for spiritual authority to remove any demons out of them. And so I talked with the girlfriend, and I knew right there they weren't married, but they had kids. And that caused the kids to be under a curse of illegitimacy, which is a really big curse for the spirit of Jezebel, and she'll use that. So that tipped me off there that Jezebel was involved. And as I talked with the girlfriend, because I was fully expecting, because most women will suffer from abuse and they'll get Jezebel. And usually, another thing that tipped me off too is the poltergeist activity. That's usually Jezebel and the spirit of witchcraft. And so I went right for the girlfriend, couldn't find a demon. So that left the boyfriend. Well, so I sat down with the boyfriend, and this is going to freak you guys out. Not all the time is the woman going to get Jezebel, but guys do get Jezebel too. And so I sat him down, and he got really emotional, and he started to manifest, and boom, that's when I knew that he was with demons. Well, it so happened at the time that we were planning a mass deliverance in Penconning at the church, the River of Life Fellowship. In Penconning, and we want to thank Pastor John Woolard of the church for allowing us to come in and do these deliverances. And so we invited him out, like, hey, look, you know, you want to get delivered, you obviously have something, so why don't you come on out, and we can explore these issues more, and we can, you know, and get them fixed. And so, and like in the previous podcast, I talked about, can Christians get demonized? This is another piece of evidence that Christians can be demonized. And we do get attacked by Satanist demons, because we are the main threat. This gentleman went to church, was saved, was baptized, is a Christian, had demons. So, but he was just having issues, emotional issues, deep down issues that were the devil was attacking him. And that's what we need to do in deliverance, is to get as many Christians delivered as possible and free from the grasp of Satan. So one of the biggest arguments that I get from people that are on the opposing side of that issue, that can Christians get demons, is, well, light and dark can't exist at the same time, in the same, occupy the same space. Well, it's happening. God is in the Christian, shares the spirit with them. But where the devil and his demons attack is the person's soul. Now, the spirit and the soul are two separate things. We're made of spirit, soul, and body. Once a person becomes a Christian, the spirit is owned by Jesus Christ. they can't attack the spirit whatsoever. But they can attack the soul, and their attacks will manifest through the body through disease and illness. So what you're going to hear in this particular exorcism is the whole process of inner healing, deliverance, curse breaking, all that leading up to the exorcisms. And I do two separate exorcisms. I do one on Lucifer and I do one on Jezebel. I do this because there were people that were there learning and observing. And so you can hear me in the background too sometimes, stopping the process, looking at them and teaching them what's going on and what the demon is thinking and what they're planning. And this is all coming from experience. And so the other thing is that I don't run the whole deliverance. I'm just there in support of the person, the victim of possession. And they are running their own deliverance. And they are my thermometer, you could say, to tell what's going on. And so I'm encouraging them, I'm showing what they need to do and helping them through the process to break free. And usually the portion where I fully take over is during the exorcism, in which, you know, I beat the demon up spiritually and get them to say an oath before God of their own banishment, because the objective is to heal the stronghold, remove it, and remove the demon's rights. Once we remove the demon's rights, then they have no obligation to be there. But the thing is about the devil and his demons is, even if there is no right and they're already there, they're not going to leave. They won't leave. And they'll pretend like they've left if you just go up and just say, "I cast you out in Jesus' name." And then they'll start laughing. "I ain't going anywhere." And that's where we get the word exorcism from the Greek word exorcizo, which means an oath. We make them say an oath to God of their own banishment and to where to go. So there's a lot of teaching of the victim, because there's a lot of untruths that they've been taught and that the devil is teaching them inside their head. And so through the whole process of inner healing, there's counseling, there's curse breaking, there's renouncing, and there's patience. A lot of things like that during their whole process. So you get to hear that process of what's going on. Now, when this individual got to the church, he was totally fine on the ride over. But once they got into the parking lot, entered the church, he started manifesting. And this usually is a sign to let us know, as exorcists, that okay, this is judgment for them. They know it's their judgment. They know it's their appointed time to be judged and to be put into the abyss. Otherwise, if they don't manifest, we try to make them manifest, and greatly there's that possibility that it's not going to happen, but we'll try again another time. It's all in God's timing. And so we knew that this was a positive thing that was occurring, that for sure that these demons are going to leave, then we know it's their appointed time. And another thing is that he was abused by his foster mom, I believe, and which any abuse is Jezebel's territory. She's going to claim that, and she's going to and she's going to enter. And so that was another tip-off that we knew that Jezebel was involved. The poltergeist activity that was happening, the black mass, usually a sign of Lucifer, shadow people, that kind of thing. Poltergeist activity, the whispers, that's all hallmarks of Jezebel and Lucifer working together. You find one, you're usually going to find the other 95% of the time. There has been cases where I just found Jezebel and that's it. or I just found Lucifer and that's it. I haven't found any other Jezebel or Luciferian spirits when the other one is there. So, but these two were working in conjunction. This man had a huge anointing. They attacked him. They didn't want him to use that anointing, and to fulfill his destiny according to what God set up for him. And so they were holding on to him. And that's what Satan and his demons do to Christians. They want to possess us. They want to attach to us. They want to attack our anointing and destiny, and so that we don't use it, and so that they cannot use it against us. And so you hear in the exorcism, I kind of taught Lucifer later on in part 4 that, you know what, or no, it was a part 3, whichever one's coming up, you'll hear me say, I'll taunt on Lucifer, you know, we're going to use it against you. So this is a pretty good exorcism to learn off of. And you notice that I take my time. I help this gentleman through the process of deliverance. You start to hear the tactics that the demons use. One of the big tactics that the demons were using in this particular deliverance was trying to put him to sleep while he was renouncing things and breaking the curse of illegitimacy. Because the more that he could say these things before God, the more that they would lose their right, and they didn't want him to do that. So you can tell in the background, as you're listening, you can tell that, you know, he's fallen asleep. You know, we had to wake him up probably a couple of times, or to encourage him to push through it or to renounce everything. But it is nothing like what Hollywood puts out there. It is Hollywood puts out there that we are always up against this impossible enemy. That is not true. Demons in actuality hide, and they hide well, and we actually have to hunt them down. I hunt them down quite a bit, and so they hide in the background so they can't be discovered. And once they get discovered, they get really ticked off that they got found or woken up. And because they want to do things to the person in the background, their assignments are not done. Lucifer will go about and give all these demons assignments to particular Christians out there to try to attack them and to fulfill those assignments. And if they don't fulfill those assignments, they get tormented by Lucifer. He gets angry. So this is inner healing and deliverance involving the demons Lucifer and Jezebel. So what I want you to notice through the whole process is this gentleman's mannerisms. When he comes forward, you know, he's completely normal and everything. Lucifer comes forward, he's different. And toward the end, when Jezebel finally comes forward, it's very feminine and very cocky. So that's one form of Jezebel. Jezebel usually comes forward laughing, cocky. In a way, he's been kind of beating them up in the background. I love it when Christians do that. They beat up their own demons. You can do that by getting in your Word, studying the Word, surrounding yourself with Christ, listening to Christian music, studying the Word, praying, resisting the desires of the flesh, crucifying your flesh, and resisting and putting every thought that comes to your mind into judgment and bind it and cast it out. So if a Christian does that and they know that they have demons, by the time you get to the inner healing and deliverance and exorcism, it's going to be an easy process. Otherwise, if you're a non-believer and you have demons, you're severely demonized, it's going to be a harder process to get through. So I encourage you ahead of time, do what the exorcist or deliverance minister tells you to do prior to an exorcism. If they want you to do a series of renouncing or curse breaking, what have you, do it. Because by the time that it's time for the exorcism, and more likely by the time that you sit down with the exorcist there and they ask the demons, do you have any right to be there? More likely they're going to say no. And then they can just proceed with an exorcism. So this once again, this is the inner healing and deliverance and exorcism of Lucifer and Jezebel. Come forward in Jesus' name now. If you don't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I will get the divine counsel involved. Trying to do anything, you need to stop. I saw your smile. And I'm not talking to Tom, I'm talking to whoever else is influencing here. Why don't you go ahead and let him up? you feel like the weight's been lifted off of you right now? You still with us? What's going on? How did you get in there? Come on. Tell me. Tell me. How did you get in there? Don't get back from me. How did you get in there? Tell me. Tell me. I asked you a question. You come up and face me. Tell me. How did you get in there? I feel the answer, and I'm going to pull it out of you. Coming up with your thought. Hey, mother. Okay, you go down. Go down, and you could let him come up now. In Jesus' name. I said go down. Bring Tom up. Bring him up. Bring him up. Torment. Torment.
torment, go down now. In Jesus' name, I said go down. Bring him up. Come on up, Tom.
You're good.
Take a break.
They attached themselves to the motion and the pain. That's why all the motion's coming up after she came.
She's everywhere. I think she likes you.
I know. That's ectolism there. Every when they come up into our reality, they're subject to whatever word I tell them. I'm saying torment, she can feel it. Saying I can say fire, she feels it. She's in a lot of trouble.
Isn't she fun?
Can't stand her. She's ruined so many people's marriages, so many people's lives. I'm sick of her. I got a special oath for her. Take a break. How are you feeling?
My head's on fire. It feels like it's burning.
Okay, take a break. We'll get up and walk around until you get the circulation going. Her and I got a relationship and we hate each other.
No!
So we gotta really weaken her. And so we'll take a break.
So you gonna puke, Tom? Break that right. Yeah.
Possibly. Oh, there's one.
Yeah.
tension and everything when she came out.
Oh, yeah.
The difference, obviously. Let me know whether or not you can go on. Now, it can be for the spouse, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, if the situation of this kind of thing happens. And it pops up. Don't let it influence you or change your judgment about the problem. It's still time. Just needs inner healing. When you're at a church, when you're going around and doing exorcisms, you're bringing people to Christ, and you're... Looks like he's getting stronger.
The acting is one thing that drives me absolutely nuts. My son does it, and it's like, oh, but he does it.
Still fighting?
He'll start from his toes and go all the way up.
You're still fighting?
And I have spirits right as his from head to toes.
Sometimes this is what happens. They feel the urge to dry heave, throw up. It is a sign of the minions, that their smaller portions of their kingdom are trying to escape the judgment. Jezebel, she's a narcissist, and she's trying to keep that from coming up, from leaving. You don't like that I know too much about you, do you? I'm not talking to Tommy, I'm not talking to Jezebel. I know all your schemes. In fact, the other day, I just put a portion of you in the abyss. How's it make you feel? And before that, there was another portion of you that went into the abyss. Just putting Jezebel's in the abyss. You're in the church. Too much. And you're gonna stop. You're gonna relinquish your control over this man. I know exactly how you got into him. I know you're trying to influence him from saying anything, keeping him from saying anything. That tells me you're attacking his body. You let him come up. Or I'll do some real damage to you. And don't get cocky with me. This is your judgment. You're going to face judgment for what you're doing to this man of God. How you feeling? Feeling good? Do you want to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. So we know Jezebel entered in
through his mother.
Through your mother. What did your mother do to you?
Oh.
Take your time. Fight to get the answer to me so I can help you. Holy water is like acid to these things.
Baby.
Maybe
you feel worthless.
Worthless? Anything else?
Maybe. The old guy should just die.
Do you believe that? You see, what happened, Tom, was when she told you that, and you were a child, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as children, when people tell us things, we take them to heart. And we don't know what's going on as children.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, it's not your fault. You didn't cause your foster father's death.
No, no voice was there.
She was going through pain. Jezebel was causing that pain.
No voice was there.
What voice?
Sue.
Hmm?
It was a child. And I allowed
it. Do you believe all that stuff now that your mother told you? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Say I in your name. Struggling with the words?
Thomas.
Fight to say the words. Say, I in your name.
For your
God. Renounce. Say it.
My mother
said I will say it.
Said
and did. Check out your lower back muscles. Get control. You're in control.
You're dead.
To verbally. You can say it. Physically.
Physically.
Abuse me.
Abuse.
I will take that now. Fight to say it.
I say
and cover it. Christ.
am Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And I place that now.
Place that now.
At the cross of Christ.
At the cross of Christ.
In Jesus' name.
The light. Got it.
Yeah, the leg actually collapsed.
You take your arm off the table.
Oh. Wow. That's not going to stay up.
Nope.
And who's coming forward?
No, I'm gonna stay. The arm that holds the table bent down. You did accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right?
So hard.
Do you remember anything?
Just that.
Just this? Did you want to see what you're going through? What you went through?
You want to see Tom?